scenario. We break records while we pushing the culture forward. Great music and big vibes right in that order. Intellectually petty radio on the stereo. Don't compare us to anything, this a different scenario. We break records while we pushing the culture forward. Great music and big vibes right in that order.
And you are now tuned into another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio, brought to you by M3S3 Clothing. Men make moves and suckers stand still. And as always, on the mighty, mighty, mighty Nerve DJs Radio Network. And you know already, I got another legend in the building. It doesn't stop at all. And hold on. Let me get my radio voice on, because we have from Detroit's number one station for smooth R&B. Melody Fresh, the midday host.
Yeah, good job.
I had to put my smooth R&B voice on.
Number one in the city, let them know.
number one in the city. How you doing, Queen?
I am doing amazing. Very blessed. Highly favored.
How's the family?
Amazing. So, as a disclaimer, yes, you may hear Mama randomly throughout this conversation. I have a 2.5-year-old and an 8-month-old in the building with me right now.
Boys, right?
Yes, two boys.
What's their names?
Anthony and Tristan.
Anthony and Tristan. Shout out to you, Anthony and Tristan. Keep being great as you possibly can.
Yes.
Why? Okay. So, how do you get started in radio?
Actually, let's take it back. So, to start, I remember being a little kid.
Okay, I'll finish. Okay, see you later.
You're welcome. Anyway, to get started, I remember being a kid, and I'm going to show my age just a little bit. And you know how you record songs off the radio? You had to press down. They record and they play at the same time so it can record.
Yes.
And I would stop the song and then I would put my own breaks in between the music, right? I didn't want to hear the actual jocks that was on there. I want to hear me, right? So fast forward all through school, and even in church, I grew up in church. When it came to public speaking, they knew they could depend on me to do it. I had no problem speaking in front of crowds or anything like that. And I remember growing up in church and they would give, you know, the youth for Sunday. Everybody would get a task, okay? You know, you do announcements, you do this, you do that. It got to a point where they were like, Melody can do the whole program until the pastor get up there. Like, I would be up there doing everything, and I had no problem. So fast forward, when I left high school, I said, okay, I want to go into radio. So I did go to Specs Howard, straight to Specs Howard, right out of high school. So that was 2010, and I didn't get a full-time radio position until many years later. So I tell everybody, you know, your journey is your own. For me, I did go, you know, I took the classes and I did all of that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I just stayed on course and I stayed, you know, stayed with my ear to the streets. I stayed outside. You know, I hosted events and I would host, get on people's podcasts, and I would try this station and I would get on this station wherever I could as a guest until I was able to work my way into working with Beasley Media Group, which is where I am now.
And you working with, well, I don't know if you're working directly with Mason.
Yeah, well, he's on the morning show. I'm on middays. Yeah.
But your man literally raised my generation.
Yes, he is a legend, a walking legend.
Oh, my God, man.
And he's just sweet and cool in person. It's not a, you know, some people do have like a face where it's like, I'm this great person on air or online. And then in reality, they're like total opposite. Not him. He is as thorough as they come.
How disappointed are you in some people that are like that?
Ooh, you want to go there?
Because I've been doing this for a long time, and there are some people that I've come across that in my mind I'm thinking they're gonna be one way, and they're complete ass asshole.
Complete, and they are users. They are abusers, literally in every sense of the word. People are not good people, and some people only have the internet. Let's take it there. Some people only have the persona that they have made up in their mind and they are portraying to be. They only have that. So I actually feel for them. I'm an empath. I feel for them. But at the same time, don't bring that my way, because don't let the necessary occur. Like, I don't play that. I am a very transparent person. I'm a very 100 person. What you see is what you get. I don't have no makeup on now. Like, I don't, break my neck to put on this personality, this thing. You'll get that personality. Sunday I was, suited and booted. But on a Thursday afternoon, guess what? That's what you get. You want to school right now. I got an UGG boot, denim jacket, fresh franchise suit. This is what you get. And unfortunately, people, are uncomfortable in their skin and what they have and where they are in life to say, hey, this is me. They have to hide behind and they have to put the best foot forward, even though it ain't their foot. They just stole the foot and the shoe. To say I am such and such. So it's unfortunate, but I'm at this point, I'm so desensitized from it. I'm used to it. I'm just like, oh dang, when you meet a real person, you're like, oh shoot, you a real nigga. Like,
oh my God. Yeah, like, it's completely different. Social media has created just, like you say, pretty much just a wave of fakeness.
Yes.
What's up, player? How you doing, man? You all right? So are those your only two?
Yes. I have two bonus daughters. They old, though. They're in their 20s. But these are my only children that I birthed, 2 and 3. That's it.
First time you became a mother, what was that feeling like?
Surreal. It is absolutely surreal to bring life into this world. And you have this person who's looking up at you. And I remember before I had kids, I remember somebody saying, hey, birth is hard. And then you look at them and you like, I'll do it again. And I was like, ooh, it don't sound like that's something I say, but okay. But I remember September 27th, I looked in that room and I said, I'll do that again. I'll do it again to see this face and have that connection and just live through that, that experience. With my husband, I had my husband right by my side. It was everything. It's indescribable. It's everything. I love being a mom. I love my kids. My kids make it easy, though. They're pretty talented, and they're cute as me, and they're pretty fun. They have big personalities, so I love it. I love it.
What was your biggest fear?
Ooh, biggest fear? Not living up to my fullest potential, not... reaching and seeing things, all that I can. We here for a good time, not a long time. So there's so much on my list, bucket lists and, things like that. I want to see, every state, as many countries as I can. Mm-hmm. And my kids with me along the way. They've already, their first beach was in Barbados. My kids will not be left at home all the time. I ain't going to say I ain't taking them with me all the time. First time they ever stepped foot on sand was in Barbados. It wasn't even on, it wasn't even domestic. So
okay. So speaking of bucket list, what's on your career bucket list?
Career wise. So I gotta do 6 figures in a month. Financially. That's nice. That's on my list. I haven't done 6 figures in a month. And as far as radio goes, I would love to be syndicated, but that's a topic. That's a process. Mm-hmm. But I would actually love to continue my career as far as TV too, and transitioning from radio to TV, or being able to just do both.
So what are you doing in TV currently?
So I haven't done much lately. I just, I guest appear on different things. I was just on CBS not too long ago. Anytime they call, I'm coming. Understand? So, but I love to do the news or do a street segment. Keep it, to me. Let's update. Let's have me go around, try new restaurants, try what's happening in Detroit. And of course, with the draft coming, there's so much changing in Detroit. So I love to just get a firsthand scoop from my point of view and show people, television wise, what's happening.
So what are you doing for the draft?
Woo! What am I doing? I'm glad you asked.
I need some advice out here. Come on, somebody. Damn.
Oh, yes. We got a free 3-day event presented by Miller Lite. They have partnered with my station. We have a free, if it's free, it's for me. So family friendly. We'll be right downtown at Cliff Bells, right outside the parking lot, all 3 days of the draft. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week. come check us out. You don't even need to register. Just pull up. Literally, pull up. I don't know, party-wise, what else I'll be doing. I do have a brunch that following Saturday after everything wraps up. But that's it so far. But, you know, that can change in the next 2 seconds. So, I'll post it, keep you posted.
So, are you a football fan or
I'm
is
a concession
it...
fan.
You're who?
Concession stand fan. I said, who's playing? Is it food? Is it some drink? I can follow all the sports, but my husband is a Seahawks fan, so we're a Seahawks household. But I'm still a Lions fan, of course.
Wait.
Yes.
What?
Yes, he's been a Seahawks fan for a while. He's a fan of the Lions. He doesn't hate the Lions, but I'm a Detroit Lions girl, you know, to the core, but yes.
The Seahawks, though? Oh, boy, that's wild.
I was like, oh, you done lost your star, too? I don't know what y'all about to do over there.
Oh my God, that's nasty work. Ugh, the Seahawks. I mean, you know what? Well, what's the name when it was beast mode? I think all of us was a little bit, you know, we was rooting for the Seahawks. I wouldn't say I was a fan.
But you root for them, yeah.
Yeah, I've been a lifelong Detroit Lions fan. They've been shitty my whole life. This last year was like that was the second coming of the Lord for me.
Like, yeah.
Oh my God! What? So, are you born and raised in Detroit?
So, I was born and raised in Ferndale. I didn't crater until my adult years.
Okay.
Yep. What's that? Although,
for Detroiters, it makes a difference.
Yes.
Because niggas will correct you.
You
from Southfield, bro? Stop it. You a Jayhawk?
Okay, which is okay. Which is okay. I love where I'm from. I'm right across 8 Mile. We're good.
What's the beauty of Detroit for you?
Oh, the beauty of Detroit. As far as art, we're untouched when it comes to art and culture. I love that, you know, I can go anywhere in the world and somebody be like, where are you from? The way I walk, you know, it's on me. You know, it's in you. Like, we just have that je ne sais quoi that no other place has for real. I've been to several places, several countries, several states. It's nowhere like Detroit, man. Like, we are just the coolest, swankiest folks around. Sorry. Like, it's unfortunate if you're not from Detroit or the surrounding cities.
you know what it is? And I've told people this over the years, is that Detroit is one of the few cities in this country where black folks, by and large, up until this last mayor, black folks up and down ran the gamut. Like, you, every major city, you'll see black folks doing bad because that's what they want us to see.
Right.
But in Detroit, even when you go to court, your judge is black.
Yes.
The prosecutor is black. Your lawyer is black.
Yes.
And that small sample of the power structure gives you an example of our blackness, and that gives us a certain that most black folks in this country don't get.
Yeah, really though, for real. And we're still a big melting pot, but we blackity black for sure.
And that's my fear. Like, I saw a white guy, well, maybe 5-10 years ago, walking the poodle down Woodward early as hell in the morning. And it broke my heart. Not because it was a white guy. Well, yeah, but because he was comfortable enough on the street to walk a poodle on Woodward at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And it just, and people were going to kill me. Oh, man, you wrong. It bothered me because I see my Detroit changing.
Yeah. We holding on to the, you know, the good of what once was.
Okay,
I'm just patiently waiting for Dutch Girl back open. Please understand. I'm so first in line. I can't post no updates without me getting tagged 20 times. Without people being like, you saw this? You saw it? Yes, I saw it. That lemon feel? I'm on that. I'm waiting. I'm right on the corner. What's up?
Okay, so you smooth R&B.
Yes.
Anita Baker or Sade?
I'm gonna go Anita.
What's?
I just gotta go with my first man. If I study long, I study wrong. If I think too much, it's gonna be hard to do that.
Anita just got more hits.
Sometimes I'm a B-side girl. It's not always about hits for me. Me and my husband debate a lot. He's a true hip hop head. We debate a lot, and sometimes he'll go, "Well, hip for hip," and the hits ain't always where it's at for me. Sometimes it's the album cuts that is where it really the true artist lies. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, but I think it's dope. There we go.
Anita, like when Anita was in her bag, I don't think anybody touches her in her element at all.
Yeah, she sings in cursive. Tell me who else sings in cursive.
You say what?
Anita sings in cursive. Beautiful cursive writing. Nobody else sings like that.
I've never heard that.
Now, yeah. I don't remember where I heard that, and it stuck with me, and it really was like, yes, she does. Like, it was like an epiphany for me. Like, yeah, that. She do that.
Yo, that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Who is that behind? Like, is that your merch behind you?
Yes. So, actually, you know, my husband's hats. My hats are on the opposite wall. So, my husband and I, we have a clothing store, which is AYB Fresher. His brand, AYB Lifestyle, turns 25 in October. My brand, the Fresher brand, turned 9 in March. So our space that we own together, AYB Fresher, we're in downtown Royal Oak. He has one side of the store. I have the other. So this side is kind of technically his side. It's but yeah.
Why him? What was it about him that you knew?
Business or husband-wise?
Husband-wise.
Ooh, husband-wise. So although my husband looks like my type, I always like big guys. I remember a girl that we used to have the same hairstylist. She went to her man's phone and she told our hairstylist, like, you know, oh my God, I think, you know, he's talking to Melody. And he laughed in her face. And so she's upset. She's like, why are you laughing? He said, baby, your man under 200 pounds. Melody don't want him. Trust me. For real. If you under 250, you can't even ride this ride. Like, it's not even the same. So moving forward, although he looks like my type, because a lot of people think, oh, you know, they were just attracted to each other. It wasn't that. When it comes to my husband, what the kids say, he stand on business, right? Mm-hmm. And although we've been friends a long time, and he helped me, you know, we helped each other wherever we could. We did a lot of business together, made a lot of money together. But when I got out of a long-term relationship, he decided to stop playing in the streets. He told everybody. And I mean everybody. I'm going to make her my wife. And at first, I was so alarmed and disgusted. Like, please stop telling people that. Like, you are a great friend. You got a friend in me. That's my dog. I didn't want to lose that, right? Mm-hmm. But the greatest relationships that you know, they always tell you. Not even on purpose. When you're friends first, it's so much better. And he wore me down. Like, Roger next door. Like, and I'm just like, dog, like, if we do this, like, you got to be ready. He's like, no, I'm ready. I'm for real. Like, you know, I'm making you my wife. And that man did. We went out on one date and I never went home.
Jesus Christ. Where was this date at? Damn.
It wasn't even that. But Harbor House was our first date. It was Valentine's Day. I had all these people ask me out on a date. And I'm just like, no, 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 no. He's like, you gonna go out with me? And I'm just like, all right, come on, let's go. Let's see how this goes. And I remember being nervous. And I was like, this is so dumb. Like, this is my dog. And that was it. I was just like, you know what? You cool. I'm cool. I said, if this go left, it ain't going to be because of me. It's because of you. And he ain't let it go left. So years and years later, 8 years later, here we are.
Yo, that's so beautiful. I'm a fan of love in all aspects. I'm a big cornball. I'm not going to lie.
Nothing wrong. Baby, listen. Love make the world go round for real. Like, my husband is a man of his word. He's a stand-up guy. You know, he's a macho guy. He's a man's man. And, you're going to make me get petty on this intellectually petty radio. I don't like feminine men. Never have, never will. I like a man that says, listen, showing off your knees and your pants is for women. I don't want to see your thighs as a man. I'm a man. Straight leg pants and that's it. You ain't got to wear no, you know, big old jabos from 2005, but
we're not going to disrespect the jabos, though.
We're not, because they are classic, but
yeah.
I like a manly man. That's what turns me on. You know how, what's this muscle right here, that lump that y'all, that the men's is behind?
I ain't got one of those.
You know what I'm talking about? When I see a muscle, a neck vein, whatever this little lumpy thing is from between the neck and the shoulder, baby, that's a man right there. I like a man that, like, that's a man. And my husband has always been a man, but I really just, we was cool. We were friends. So I never was like, ooh, like, yeah, to you. It was just like, yeah, you around. You good for me to protect me. You know, we walking down a dark alley. I know I'm good, but I just never looked at him like that. He always had a soft spot for me, but he wasn't ready back then. And he knew he wasn't. So when he got himself together, he came in and got his wife. I tell you that for sure.
I'm not mad at that, man. And salute to that man. So, what do you think that, as far as DJs go?
Cool, come on.
And I'm in a couple of conference calls with a bunch of DJs, and there's a fear that DJs are being pushed out.
I wouldn't say that. I guess it also depends on where you are, or the audience that you worried about. But there's absolutely still. AI can't take a DJ away.
You sure about that?
I'm positive. So, shout out to Don Q, man. I did an event once with a DJ. This is years ago. But I did it with a popular DJ. Now, a lot of the DJs, I ain't gonna say they was hating on him, but they was kind of salty that he was getting booked a lot. But he was just good at marketing himself. It wasn't that he was a better DJ. It was just he was more marketable, right? He
had
a following. Cool, whatever. Thing about this DJ was he was a laptop DJ. Now, I've been hosting parties since I was 17 years old. Before I was old enough to get in the clubs, I was hosting it. And I was raised, I always say I was raised by real DJs.
Turntables.
Crates. You know what I'm saying? They have a board, okay?
Yes.
Which means that I secondhand know a board because that's what I've been around when I'm doing an event. I know, you know, DJ gotta go, you know, he gotta go throw up. The party won't just stop. I got you. You know what I mean? I can at least get some, you know, more music on or turn the board up and down as far as the music goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am one of those hosts. If I, for dramatic effect, I will touch the board with permission. I will pot it down to say what I got to say, pot it back up on beat, and we keep the party rolling. But what I didn't know is that this laptop DJ didn't use his board. So when I touched that board, everything went blank. And he was mad. He was like, oh, you touched my board. I said, well, if you learn how to DJ, like a real DJ, you don't have that problem. And I didn't say it to be mean. I'm saying it because, again, I've been doing my events here like this for such a long time. And I know what I'm doing, so I need you to know what you're doing. And he could have taken offense and just been like, you know what, she this, she that. He went home and learned that board. And he'll tell people to this day, only because I cut into him the way I did is the reason why he started to take it more serious. Now, I say all of that to say another real DJ, overheard that interaction. And he remembers it like it was yesterday. So the last time I saw him and we did an event together, he was like, you know why I F with you? And I was like, why? You know, what's up? And he remembers that verbatim. And I was like, I don't even remember you standing there. I don't even remember the conversation I had with the DJ. I just told him how I felt and moved on. It wasn't, you know, anything I was holding. So that being said, when something goes wrong, when something glitches, when it ain't working, who can dig in them crates and get them records spinning? A real DJ, you can't replace that. Like, they ain't going nowhere. Especially the ones I know. They too talented.
And I think it's more about the respect that they're being given monetarily.
Yeah, that I understand.
Like, they're not making the bread that they used to make, you know, outside of, I guess if you go overseas and you one of those international DJs who are basically just laptop DJs, and they look different, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I get it. I feel like sometimes a lot of people they have that dinosaur mentality, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is how Funk Flex got on, or this is how these DJs, this is the blueprint that these DJs or people before me in this career choice, whatever, this is applied universally. This is how it went for them. Times are changing. We're more into a digital age now. So you have to move with the times, fortunately and unfortunately, and figure out what's going to work for you and figure out how to create your own story and narrative to success. A lot of people just harbor on to, okay, well, back in the day. Well, unfortunately, it ain't back in the damn day. So we got to figure out, you know, how to move forward and how to use all this technology that we have, that we're afforded, that, you know, we're blessed to say, like, yo, like 20 years ago, they didn't have this. How can I make it work for me?
Mm-hmm.
Even with radio, a lot of people, like I said, it was years before, you know, I was on air every single day, even weekends, on a radio station in Detroit. The market is not that big. So I couldn't just hold on to, well, such and such, you know, this person said it, this is how they did it, and this is how that. How is it going to work for me? How am I going to do it? And my story is so much different than a lot of other people's. So you just got to make your own narrative and figure out, you know, how can I get it to work for me? Stop thinking back in 2000.
Because that's going to expedite your exit.
Yeah. Or the only people that's thinking like you, they dinosaurs too, so they ain't doing nothing. So, I mean, you can kiki with them all the day, but it ain't going to get you nowhere. Like,
So as a midday host, do you have more latitude in choosing what to play than, say, the morning?
Actually, at least for our station, the morning show, they run things. they get. I feel like they have more latitude than I do. But what I do, I am very, very cool with my PD. So my PD is somebody, he's a black man.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not someone that shies away from opinion or suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I can always bother him 2 a.m. or 2 p.m. and say, hey, you know, we should do this. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And he'll take, you know, you can't always do everything, but he will take into consideration the things that I come up with because he knows that I'm very connected with the community. I have a certain ear when it comes to R&B, things like that. So I'm grateful to be in a space where I'm able to learn a lot where I am, but he also will listen to it and say, well, you know, that's a good idea. Or, well, you know, you do think that that'll work or that'll fly. And, you know, let's try it. So,
who are you fucking with R&B-wise from the city?
Oh, let's see. R&B-wise is hard. Everybody, don't nobody want to sing no more. Everybody want to rap. Don't nobody want to hear that.
Yo, I fucks with Dre Scone.
Dre Scone is very dope. I did a promo for the Fresh and Friend. I love to use his music wherever I can. Any other local artist too, but Dre Scone is dope. You know, I got my girl. She's another one that she's a cursive singer, Monica Blair. Okay. I don't know what she has anything. I don't know if she has anything new coming up, but her voice, amazing. of course, I know that she. I don't know where she lives now. I think she lives in New York. But Bobby Storm, that's my girl too. You know, she went viral for the sticking on the plane and all of that. But she has a powerhouse voice. She's so amazing.
For the record, can't wait to get her on the show. I know it's gonna happen soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, love her though.
Yes. So yeah, I know somebody else is gonna come to me, but I haven't really been seeing any new faces like that, honestly. What new faces have you seen?
Okay, I'm biased because we share the same manager, but Ari B, fucking dope.
Yeah.
Asia, I think it's Spears.
Asia Spears.
Let me just double check because I got her coming on the show too. She's fucking dope. And I will butcher your name. Oh damn! I'm about to say my phone and died on me.
No,
I didn't. Yeah, I'm sorry. Asia Pearson.
Asia Pearson. Okay, I'm gonna look for her. Let me write that down on my notes because I'll forget.
Yo, and I know this is it's not R&B, but my guy from Flint, his name is Brick the Foundation, and I'm gonna have him back on the show next month. Mm-hmm. But his daughter has cancer, and he lives in Arizona now, and they've been flying back and forth to California. He's been rapping for a minute, for years. I always thought he was dope. But he sent me some shit today.
It was cold.
It was some of the most introspective shit I've ever heard.
Mm. Now I got it. Send it to me.
Right, I absolutely will. You know, pain is a powerful tool.
Yes, it is.
You know, and he was always like a pro-black artist.
Yeah.
But it's one thing to be going through some personal shit and talk about it, and it's another thing to you know, be talking about things for other people.
Yeah.
He's always been dope, but this shit, just like, it's like his Killer Mike album.
Oh. Now I really want to hear it.
Yeah, I'm absolutely going to send it to you. And so hip-hop wise, who you fucking with?
Woo! All right. They're going to hate me for this. I did like the Flute album.
The who?
The Flute album.
Oh my God, that's not hip hop. That's dude on some journey of self reflection. I don't want to hear about that. I'm sorry.
Oh, all right, so now I got to use my brain because I'm one of those people that only that listen to the same stuff. Like right now, can you hear my music?
I can't.
Grand Poobah is playing right now in my store.
Really?
Yes. So I
wait. What song though?
What is this? I like it.
That's not one of my favorite Grand Poobahs, but yo, Grand Poobah used to be. And you know what kills me is, and I'm sorry, I know I asked you a question,
but
what's old boy's name that was in Brand Nubians with him that's got the podcast now?
I
try to stay away from hating on other people, but old boy makes it seem like they were such a huge group back in the day. It's like, no, nigga, y'all was a mid-tier group and you were the worst one.
You weren't even the star.
It was Grand Poobah and y'all other niggas. And when he left y'all had a dope ass song. I'm sorry. I just had to get that off my chest. Okay, so
okay, let me think. Hold on. It's like we for real be in a time capsule in here. So hold on, let me think. Hip hop. Where we at? Hip hop is it's very interesting. Bring back the rap, man. Bring back the bars. These niggas ain't got no bars. I don't like none of that. Like, what's that? Future and Offset and all of.
Oh no!
I don't fuck with Future.
No. This is why I'm on the station that I'm on. Cause all it, I hate telling Auntie all this new. This, I don't like those. I'm excited to see what Lover Brooke got coming out. Girl wise, when it comes to hip hop. Let's see. I don't. Give me a minute to think on that. Next question.
Yeah, I'm still tripping on you on like Future. Like, okay, I get some of this, a lot of this shit for this generation. 21,
Savage, 21.
He's either really dope or really trash. There's no gray area with it.
I'm still waiting for the really dope. Now there is a difference too. And let me say this. Let me be clear. So a lot of people know I host what's called Bent Bingo Detroit, which is just pop up bingo at different locations or whatever. There's music you listen to for a purpose. So like, there's music that comes up in the trap era. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the best song, but it's hype. You know what I mean? The beat.
Yeah.
Or you know, you mix it in between a couple like classic TIs or you know whatever, cool whatever. But as far as like bars and stuff, I know, you know, from the front to the back, like a lot of this stuff. No.
No. I agree with you on that one.
I'm R&B girl.
Yeah, the substance is not as important nowadays as it used to be. Although I will say people in my generation overhype the substance to an extent also.
Yeah.
Cause like I listened to Luke religiously and that nigga was horrible.
When you really look back at certain stuff. Things were questionable.
Like, I I listen to Too Short religiously. Absolutely no substance. I take that back. He made like three songs with some real substance to them.
And here's the thing too, that a lot of people forget, unless you of the industry or whatever. Production. Some people, you know, they might have something to say, but the production is not there, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of artists, you know, especially back in the, you know, 90s, early 2000s, they had way better production. So we look at it differently because things were catchy and things were dope, like the beat and, you know, other things caught us. It really wasn't the words, you know, it was more of the on the production end. But now, you know, these producers, you know, next question. So, you know, it's, when it's all bad, you ain't got nothing to go off of. You know what I'm saying? Like, where we at with it? Like,
who? I know you've got had the privilege of meeting a lot of people. Who do you still get fanned out by?
This is gonna be so funny. You know who I love? That, well, the first one to come to mind, at least, and I did a concert with him. Genuine, he is such an uncle, but that man is fine as white. I'm telling you, like, I still see him on my wall as a teenager, like, oh, my husband ain't got to worry about, but baby, listen, that Genuine, that Salt and Pepper. It is what it is. Like, and I don't even like men of his size, like, any of that. But Genuine, I was listening to 100% Genuine yesterday making dinner. And I was talking with my homegirl, actually, since we brought that up. We're talking about production, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how R&B, how much you love R&B, but remember back, you know, in the 90s, they used to have those skits in between the songs. Like,
yeah.
Nobody do skits no more. Like, you know, it was just people made an album for you to listen to in whole. They just didn't throw some stuff off haphazard and call it an album. Like, they made a project. Yeah. I need to bring back projects. You don't necessarily have to bring back a skit. I'm okay with that. But just bring back a project and something that's cohesive. When it came to those albums, like, and of course there were, you know, different producers back then, but it was a project. It was like, okay, this all sounds like, this makes sense why this is track 4 and this was Ghost of 5 and 6.
It was thought out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it was just such better work.
I mean, because the importance of an album has been diminished significantly. It's all about having a hit song.
Yeah.
So even if they do happen to make an album, which not too many artists do nowadays, it's just how many potential hit songs can I throw together? I don't care how they sound or whether there's a rhyme or a reason to it.
Yeah. I get it.
Is there a particular DJ where you feel like, as far as hosting, you have a better chemistry with?
So there are several, for several different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Every DJ is, you know, I bring a certain flavor to an event, any event I do, right? Mm-hmm. And there are DJs that I like to work with. Their niche may be this or that. Their niche may be R&B. They might be really, you know, crazy hip-hop heads. You know what I'm saying? Like, so right now, one of the newer DJs, she's newer, you know, to the scene, my girl Chris Keys, she is the coldest. I am a stickler. Everybody knows this about me too. I'm a DJ snob when it comes to certain stuff. If your transitions don't hit, if they not seamless,
Ooh. What
you doing?
Yeah.
I cannot stand. I'm trying to do a ballroom. I'm trying to get my hustle on, and your beat off, not your beat stuttering. What you doing? I should be able to keep my step, even if the song is in it and you fade into something else. We are still rocking and rolling. It don't even change what we got going on. She is one of those people. But she also has a musician's ear. She played instruments.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else. Prior to getting into that. But self-taught DJ, taught herself during the pandemic. Me and her together, go. If you're having a wedding or an event and me and her not together, what you doing? Just wasting your time. That's what you doing. But that's my girl. Like, we've done so many. We had a brunch we did for years and change. Like, amazing chemistry when it comes to her. When it comes to hip-hop events, DJ Skeez. and Skeez. Some people look at her and they're like, oh, who's this white girl with purple hair? She about to rock this mug. That's what she about to do. She's very, very, very educated when it comes to just music and the B-side. She's a B-side girl too. So me and her share that in common. It's not always about, okay, well, these were the hits and this is the, what's the cold track that you know of that, you know, everybody loves it, but it just didn't get no radio play. She knows that stuff, especially when it comes to hip hop. So just depends on the, well, you know, depends on what we're doing.
All right, so give me some B-sides that I should have heard.
Oh, come on. Let's see. Oh, on what though?
I don't care.
I need some specifics.
Yeah, whatever comes to your mind. R&B, hip hop, hell, I don't care. Rock.
Country calling.
You say country?
No, I'm joking.
I've been kind of going down the rabbit hole since Beyonce put the joint out.
Did you really?
A little bit.
Like her project?
Huh? Not her specifically, but just black country artists. Like, what's the old girl name? Adele something. I know she's got a joint called Buckle Bunny.
Oh, was that the girl that was on the album too?
Yeah, I think she was on Beyonce album.
Yeah.
Yo. I've listened to a couple of her joints though. Fire.
I love that she put that together to show off, you know, what we have. A lot of people just, again, they just, you know, they take everything for face. Like, oh, well, this person is successful doing this, but it's not what I listen to. But there's so much more to the world, you know what I mean, than hip-hop and R&B. And there are certain elements from different genres that we hear, but we don't always recognize it because we're not versed in those other genres. So I liked what she did. I liked the Beyonce album that she put together. That was not a country album, but a country album. It was a Beyonce album with country. I love it.
I don't care. It pissed them folks off, and I was cool with that.
Absolutely. That kicked down them doors, but it was still her own. She made it her own, you know? So I really love to see that. I loved it. I'm not a hater of country music, so it didn't bother me. If it sounds good, it sounds good. You know, like,
you know, the crazy part about it is that they're trying to make country music like it's some bastion of positivity.
Right,
them just some broke white boys doing the same. Them niggas is singing hip hop songs.
Yeah,
actually, some of that shit be worse. Because they be wilding on some of them country songs.
They do.
Yeah. And they don't want to talk about that. But, you know, that's a whole other story.
I think the funniest realization about that, and a lot of people are talking about. So, she has a song called Jolene on there. It's a remake. And, you know, the different people that sing it and the message and the way that the lyrics were changed. This is the same stuff Kelly Price was talking about. You know what I mean? Like, we just think that other people's music is just this, you know, oh, we're just talking about sunshine and daisies. No, that ain't what the hell they talk about. They talk about real stuff, too, or what's going on, or how they prison took a man, or whatever it is. The same stuff, you know, it's universal. Like, everybody's talking about the same stuff, just in different ways. The best way to connect with their audience.
Heartbreak sells in any language.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Jodeci or Boyz II Men?
Boyz II Men.
Oh, you're softy, huh?
I told you.
Although, I probably gonna rock with Boyz II Men too.
Yes.
They don't get the credit. Like, I fucks with Jodeci.
Yeah, and I do too.
Heavy, but it's more Jodeci's first album.
Yeah.
Boyz II Men was dumping on them. For a long time.
Motown Philly? What?
Oh my God. And people slip on that too.
Don't Let Good Love Pass You Back. Come on. Well, it was just called Pass You Back.
Oh my God. My
auntie, one time, I don't remember where I think we was going to Old Country Buffet. I don't remember. Wherever we was, she listened to the same song, Boyz II Men song, the entire ride. And we still roast her about it to this day. Because, again, Old Country Buffet was over 10 years ago. That was so long ago. But we made fun of her because we laughed about it. But we was all singing it time and time and time again together. Because it was a jam. You can't even. Come on, dog. Come on. they were classic. The singing, the voices, the showmanship, the layers, the musicianship, like.
Okay. Best voice, Whitney or Mariah?
Whitney.
Mariah's low-key underrated.
Mariah is great. I think she's great. But Whitney is the voice.
Whitney is so.
I don't know nobody that's going against. There will be no Whitney slander over here. I don't know anybody that can go against Whitney. I had a Anita versus Whitney debate on my page a couple months ago, I think. No.
I'm actually going to rock with Anita on that one.
What?
Yes. Yeah. Like, I love Whitney's voice, and her highlights are better than Anita's highlights. But consistency-wise, like Whitney made a lot of shit for the white folks. Let's be honest. And Anita Baker made unapologetically the whole time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to, like, if I'm sitting at home listening to one or the other, it's absolutely Anita Baker, and it's not even close.
Can't do it. I'm your baby tonight. I can't do it. I can't do it.
But how many I'm your baby tonight she got?
Like I said, no Whitney slander will be taken. Now, let's go to the track. Because we got my husband. He wanted to go greatest for greatest.
Okay, let's do that. I'm with you. I'm riding with you.
Greatest, Anita versus Whitney.
Okay.
Even he was like, he had to concede.
Yeah, but he's married to you. He automatically got to concede.
That don't be a daggone thing. Once we go through the debate, but hit for hit.
Oh, I don't know.
Let me see if I can pull this up on my computer screen.
I'll tell you this. You know how they always say, "Oh, well, they ain't playing that's in the hood." I have never in my life been rolling down in my car and said, "Let me play Whitney."
He said that. He was like, as a man, I really
want
this like that.
I roll around all the time playing Anita.
But that doesn't mean that just she resonated more with you. But her voice?
Oh, well, no. I'm not comparing voices. I'm comparing music.
Oh, okay.
Like if I was going to have somebody represent me singing. Yeah, Whitney Houston's.
There was some better Anita production, but I'm still a Whitney girl.
Yeah, like song wise, yeah, I'm putting on Anita. But if you know somebody said, well, let's can they sing in the church or can they sing on the corner or can they sing in a stadium of 100,000 people? I'm gonna pick Whitney.
Yeah, is she gonna tear that boy down?
Oh, she had one of the best voices like in the history of vocal cords.
Because out of the greatest greats, right? Prince, Michael, Whitney. Who else are we putting in there? Top five. I only got to see Prince.
Wait a minute. You putting Whitney in top five, though?
She's top five for me.
Voices or catalog?
Kind of both. Because her catalog is quite expensive. But he was one of the greatest voices for me.
Okay. Now, I'm not putting Prince in there for greatest voices. No. Not top five.
Well, it's production.
Yeah.
The song.
Artist wise and catalog, yes.
I didn't get to see Whitney. I didn't get to see Michael. I doubt you watched this, but you know they redid the movie Sparkle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whitney was in there. She was the mother. She played the mother. I don't remember her name. I didn't get to meet her in person, but I was in the movie Sparkle. And I was not, it's a very quick scene. Every time it comes on BET, I know about it because somebody tags me on Facebook. Like, is this you? Yeah, that's me.
That's pretty fucking dope, though.
It is, though. And I didn't even realize, I went down there for one day, and my hair was in a bob, and they were one of the producers was like, put her in the front. Because they had pooped my hair up so big with a huge dress. And you see me dance, I'm just like doing my little dance. So I did get to see George Sparks up close, but I didn't get to meet her or anything. But I did not get to meet Whitney. And I was just like, why was I on the scene where Whitney was in there? Why wasn't I sit next to her in the auditorium on the one scene? I was so mad the that didn't happen, but I am appreciative of the opportunity and, you know, being able to.
Little man is like, you lying, Ma. I don't believe you.
So normally, when I scheduled this, I and my man, I was like, oh, great, because my husband will be here. My husband's at a conference. So I'm a single parent for the day.
It's okay. I have thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. That I really have.
Even still, like.
Okay, so best concert you have been to?
I would probably, that's really hard. But the one that comes to mind, and also probably because we also brought it up, was the Prince concert. I saw him at Essence Fest. And Janelle Monae was there. But you know, Essence has a festival. So right. Some million people that perform. So I was able to see Mary J. I know Janelle Monae. And the dopest thing about Janelle Monae is that Prince actually walked out during her set. And the crowd went insane because you know how short Prince is. So at first it was just kind of like, who's that little person? Oh my God. Like the crowd kind of like leaned in and was like, oh shoot. And it was wild, right? So I remember that as being one of my most fun experiences. I actually saw that show with my mother. And we had such a time. My mom is a huge Prince fan. She was under duress when he passed, like, you know, she was one of those, was ready to throw her panties on the stage, like, she's one of those. But
I did not need to know
that. So she actually, you know, that was one of our greatest shows, you know, experiences together, you know.
That's so dope.
My mom and I are close, so that was one of the most fun concerts that I feel like I had been to. And I've been to some great shows, but that was a really dope show.
That's dope. Yeah. For me, Scarface.
I'm so mad I missed it. Oh.
No.
Actually, I didn't go to the last one.
Oh, not the last tour.
Yeah, I had a couple tickets and then gave them away.
I forgot about it.
No, but I saw him like when he was here. I want to say it was in Pontiac. And matter of fact, Troy Muhammad took me out there, and it was just like, dude was just, it was, and I talk about this all the time, but it was surreal.
Yeah. Like,
his mastery of being able to weave telling the story about the song with doing the song, and his catalog being unrivaled. Like, yo.
I'm mad about it. I've heard, of course, on Scarface from my dad, right? And now that I'm with my husband, he's a huge fan. So, growing, it was just like seeing who, you know, being able, you don't know what songs are kind of going to hit the same 20 years ago, 20 years later, right?
Yeah.
So, just being able to still relate and the, you know, the stuff that is being said in the song, like, still flows, and like, he's dope. He's dope. I wanted to take my dad to that concert, and I totally forgot. Got busy, got booked, and just totally forgot. And the next day, I saw people post it, and I was like, ooh. I forgot! I was pissed. I was so pissed. But he may do something. He may do another leg of that tour or something else. Shout out to the Black Promoters Collective for putting that show together. I believe they're going to do something else maybe, you know, next year or so. So hopefully they do so I can go, because I'm mad.
Yeah. Yo, speaking of the Black Promoters Collective, I don't know who the fuck, excuse my language, is running y'all, but I need y'all on the show. Love what y'all doing. I think it's...
I'll definitely give you a contact to get them on, because they are putting on some amazing, amazing shows. I remember I looked up the Frankie Beverly and Major, he's on a farewell tour. And I just happened to look up some details, you know, I'm researching, and in the article, one of the articles I read, it was like, you know, and they put this together. I said, y'all did this too. They on top of it. I love it for them. So, they've been putting a lot of great shows together the last couple of years.
I've never seen Frankie Beverly and Maze. That's a show I would love to see.
I feel like I did years ago, but not recently. So it's definitely on the list.
Yeah,
it's a farewell. I want to.
Yeah, I would love to go see Frankie Beverly and Maze.
Yeah.
Man, that's soul music. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they go about doing that?
You can always reach me on social media, Melody Fresh, 3 H's over here. So that's on Instagram, that's on Facebook.
Your man say, let me go, let me free. I'm trying to do something. Like you hold me up.
I'm going to nap. But Melody Fresh 3 H's on the end. You can always reach out to me there. That's the best way because I have to check that at least 10 times a day.
Well, I want to thank you and the boys. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I'm not sure if there's anything I can do for you, but if there is, please let me know, and I got you.
Bye-bye.
Dope ass shades too, by the way.
Thank you.
No doubt.
Thank you so much for having me. Next time I'll be carefree.
It was my honor. And you know what? No, just bring them back. This worked for me.
You figured out.
I got a lot of grandkids, so I understand. On that note, I'm gonna let you go so little man can go get him some sleep.
Thank you so much for having me. We'll see y'all soon.
All right, have a good one.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Peace. Yo, that was just. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about it today. I've been lucky, like blessed, lucky, however you want to define it. I have been able to talk to some phenomenal people over the years, and it has been this has been one hell of a journey I don't take for granted and I don't take lightly, and I am extremely thankful that a lot of dope people have allowed me to share their space, energy, and time for a little bit. You know, when it's all said and done, it's not too many people that have been able to talk to the quality of people that I have been over such a long time. I definitely got to give my manager, Rita, a huge, huge, huge thank you and a huge shout out. She is absolutely the GOAT. And yo, we got some shit in store. Anthony White from the Detroit Youth Choir. I don't know, when I look down at my phone, all you see is my hat, but it is what it is. We'll be on in about an hour, 7 o'clock. We got Congresswoman Rashid Tlaib Wednesday at 9 o'clock in the morning. When the congresswoman wants to come on, she just gives you a time and you roll with it because she's that dope. Marv Neal, a stylist, coming on next Thursday at 5 o'clock. Reels Rich, the MC, next Thursday at 7. Asia Pearson is May the 2nd at 5 o'clock. The songstress, Marv 1. I'm a Marv 1 fan. And his new album, yo, fucking phenomenal. And I'm a Marv 1 fan from battle rap. I could go on, but I won't. Let me go take my dog Moose out for a second. I'll be back at 7 o'clock, man. This is Jobs. This has been another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio. If you have not, please make sure you subscribe, like, share the YouTube channel, the Facebook page, wherever you watching this from. Shout out to you. And I'm not sure. I don't know how to pronounce that. Serena something Lion. You need my contact details. Look me up. Look up the Intellectually Petty Radio fan page on Facebook. And leave me a message. All right. On that note, we out.